Tonight, I wanted to dive into the series and really teach from Philippians 4, and I'm calling this message Anxious for Nothing. Anxious for Nothing. And we're looking in, like I said, Philippians chapter 4. Before we dive into that text, I did want to acknowledge something that many of you may or may not have thought about, but it's very true in our life, that oftentimes the biggest battles that we face or that we're going through are often battles that other people never see or know about. Sometimes the biggest battles that we have going on in our lives are battles nobody knows about but God. Nobody has a clue. Sometimes the people even closest to you, your spouse, your kids, your best friend, whoever it may be, never have a clue. They might know something's up, but they don't know exactly what it is. And a lot of the battles we face are battles people aren't even aware of. Now, God is, but a lot of the people aren't. A lot of times we're fighting battles on our own, or we're dealing with them in our minds, or there's a spiritual war going on. There's something going on, and we'll often show on the outside that we're confident. We'll appear to have it all together. We'll appear as if we've got a plan. But secretly on the inside, there's a struggle, or there's an insecurity. And this is happening more often than we realize. That's why I tell you all, never assume when you come to church and you're sitting beside somebody, never assume that you're the only one going through anything. You don't have a clue what somebody who's sitting right beside you has been going through or is currently going through. And so that's why when you come, always come and treat this as a family. We are here to encourage, build each other up, and don't assume because you see someone else worshiping with a big smile on their face that they don't have a single problem in the world. And then compare yourself to them and think, well, I'm struggling. Look how happy they are. Their life must be great. Don't do that, because that's not real. They're worshiping God, but they might be praising through a storm. And that smile on their face is because they're trusting God with everything in them, and it took everything they got to have that smile. Because what you didn't see was all them tears and frowns before they got to church. They finally get to the presence of God, and they feel peace for a moment in their life. Don't ever assume you know what everybody's going through based on what you see, because you don't. I know a lot of people that are dealing with a lot of struggles, a lot of things, and they're oftentimes they come to church and they got their happy face on, and you know they say the whole "God bless you" and "It's so great to see," and they have that whole thing going on, but it's a front, and it's okay. I don't want you to feel like when you come to church you should just be crying every time you're here. You're in the presence of God, and be cheerful, be happy. We want you full of joy here, especially when you leave. If you come in sad, we want you leaving full of joy. But, hashtag blessed, whatever it may be. But I know this. Truthfully, a lot of us, we deal with tons of anxiety. A lot of us deal with a ton of weight and a ton of worry. And we feel pressure. And there's an insecurity. There's a dread there. And so I really felt led to deal with this tonight. Because what do we do when we find ourselves battling with this kind of anxiety? Where do we turn to? Tonight we're looking at Philippians 4. But again, I want to remind you, at New Life Church, our rallying cry is that we are going to what? Pray first. Pray first. We are always going to respond first with prayer. We're going to pray first. It'll be our first response, not our last resort. That is our rallying cry from here on out forever. We are going to be a church that prays first. Don't do anything without taking a moment and praying first. The Apostle Paul here, he's writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course, and he's writing to his friends in Philippi, and he's writing from a Roman prison. And this is where he's pinning this to his friends, and he's been, at this point, he's been chained to a Roman guard, a Roman centurion guard, 24 hours a day, and he's in this cell awaiting trial. This is the condition that Paul is writing this in, and so it helps to know a little bit of context. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. He didn't know if he would live. He didn't know if he would die. He didn't know if he'd be thrown to the lions or he'd be, set free. He didn't know what was going on. And so if anybody had an opportunity to be anxious, it's probably Paul in this moment, because he doesn't have a clue what's about to take place, and he's facing some pretty serious situation. And so the Apostle Paul's under a lot of stress, but here's the words that he wrote with this kind of condition, this kind of stress, and listen to this power and listen to this truth. He said this, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." It was so important, he repeated it. "I'll say it again, rejoice." Verse 5, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. the Lord is near. Now, I want to pause right there for a second. The Lord is near. I've heard a lot of people say, how come when God speaks to some people, he shouts, and when he speaks to me, he whispers? Why is it that sometimes God whispers to me? And I was reading through this passage, and this spoke out to me today. Have you ever thought that maybe the reason why he's not shouting is because he doesn't have to shout? The reason why he doesn't have to shout is because the Lord is near. When he's close to you, he's close enough to whisper, which means you need to be sensitive enough to hear him. And so this is what Paul's referring to. He said, he's close to you. He doesn't need a shout. If you're across the room, I got to shout to get your attention. Hey! But you're not across the room. He's near. He's right beside you. So he can talk to you in a still small voice. He can whisper to you. A lot of times that's what he's doing. So the Apostle Paul says, listen, the Lord is near. Remember that. He's right here. He's close to you. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. About what? Anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Another translation says, be anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious about anything, but in what? But in every situation. In every situation, no matter what you're facing, if you're worried about your job, paying some bills, you got teenagers that are insane. I don't know what you may be dealing with. Whatever that situation is, your health, no matter what you're going through, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, here's what we do. We present our requests to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In every situation, by prayer and petition, we present our request to God. So let's do that today. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God, your presence would be here. I pray that the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, will build our faith through this message tonight. God, for anybody who is in here who is facing anxiety, who is anxious, would you send your peace? The peace that passes all understanding. We praise you and thank you for these things. In the name of Jesus, everybody say, amen. Amen. All right, let's talk about anxiety for a moment. Let's talk about it. What exactly is anxiety? Because the answer to that can really be complicated if you want it to be. There's really no easy answer. Let's put it that way. Anxiety, it can be physiological. It can be psychological. It can be emotional. It can be situational. It can be physical. There can be a lot of causes to anxiety. But what I'm going to focus on, because it's almost always this, is the spiritual root. I'm a pastor, so that makes sense. The spiritual root, it's always spiritual. Again, remember our rallying cry. What are we going to do? Pray first. We're always going to pray first. In other words, we are always going to pray, which means anytime, even if we're seeking professional help, which is okay, which is not a problem. If you need to see a counselor, see a counselor. If you need to see a doctor, see a doctor. But what are we going to do first? Pray. Not telling you to not get help from any other sources, but I am telling you to pray first. That's, again, our rallying cry. Whatever it is you need help with, get the help. If you need to see professional care, you need someone to talk about diet, nutrition, stuff, fine. But first, pray. That's important. And that's the spiritual aspect. Now, since I'm a pastor and I'm not a doctor, I'm not going to talk about medical prescriptions. You don't want me prescribing your medication, all right? It's going to be vitamin C. I don't know what else to tell you. So you don't want me doing that. But I will go through the spiritual aspects of this. What is anxiety? I can explain it best this way. So I had a vehicle that used to drive me nuts because it had this annoying little, it was a yellow light, but on some cars it's red. And some of you will relate to this. It had this little yellow check engine light that would come on. How many of you, whenever something's wrong, you have this indicator light that shows up on your dashboard and it pops up? So I had this car, and anytime there was a problem, the check engine light would come on. Now, here's what you got to realize about that check engine light. The check engine light, even though it's getting all the focus of your negative energy, like, oh man, check engine light's on, that check engine light is not actually the problem. It's an indicator that there is a problem. You understand? So you need that check engine light. It's necessary. The creator of that vehicle, the builder of that vehicle, knew that if you should be smart enough that when you see that check engine light, you're going to know that there's a serious problem. And that requires you to take that vehicle back to the manufacturer or back to the creator, because he knows how it's built. And once you take it back to the creator, he can fix whatever that problem is, which will remove the check engine light. You following? You tracking? I had this car and the check engine light was on all the time and it was always being fixed. That's why it gave me great anxiety. That check engine light did. But that is the signal. It is the signal, and this is what anxiety is. Anxiety is the signal alerting you that, guess what? It's time to pray. Anytime you have a moment or a feeling of anxiety, it's an indicator. It's letting you know spiritually. It's a spiritual thing. Spiritually, it's time to pray. So don't get mad and don't get upset that you are anxious. That's why Paul's saying don't be anxious, but in everything. And he starts going into prayer. It's a signal. It's an alert that there's something that's not right. And so it's a reason to pray, which means it would be wise in that moment to go back to your manufacturer, back to your creator, back to the Word of God, and figure out what's going on. Start speaking the Word and speaking life and speaking victory and speaking, you following me now? And so it's an indicator that there's something worse, that there's something greater going on. And so it's an alert that it is time to pray. Everybody say this after me. Say this. Say, if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. If it's big enough to worry about, then it is big enough to pray about. If it's big enough for you to be concerned over, then it is definitely big enough for you to pray about. And if you are not praying and all you're doing is worrying, is that helping? No, of course not. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about, which means this: if it's on your mind, it's also on God's heart. Do you understand? That means if it's on your mind and it's something you can't stop thinking about and it's giving you anxiety, then it's on God's heart, because he wants you to recognize that check engine light is on. He wants you to recognize you need to be praying. Remember our rallying cry, we pray first. So the moment you start feeling anxiety should trigger an automatic response of prayer, getting into the presence of God. So he says, be anxious about nothing. But in everything, every situation, take your requests to God. That also tells me this. That means the moment you feel anxiety, not only are you supposed to pray, it tells me you are anointed by God to pray. That means his presence is immediately available. You are anointed in that moment to pray, because there's no reason for you to stay anxious. There's no reason for you to stay worried. There's no reason for you to stay in doubt or concerned. He's saying immediately in that moment, the anointing of God is there for you to pray. Now, he won't make you pray, but he's telling you you're anointed to pray, and there's an indicator that you should be praying. So if you're worried about an upcoming doctor's appointment, what are you going to do first? Pray. You're going to pray first. If you're worried about a decision that you need to make, what are you going to do first? Pray. The moment you have a single anxious feeling, the moment you have a single worried feeling, pray. That is an indicator from the Holy Spirit. You need to be praying. You need to take this request before God. Listen to what the Bible says. I'm going to give you a little bit of insight to what Paul's saying. He said, pray about everything, because God cares about it. He cares about everything that we go through. He said, present your request to God. Now, I don't necessarily love this translation I'm reading. I'm reading out of NIV. There's a lot of different ways, and the text here is written in Greek, so scholars determined here this was the best way that it needed to be written. But there's a lot of different translations, different versions of the Bible. This is a little bit more of a formal way of saying, you know, than I think what the actual original Greek text was saying. What the text is really saying is, how do you pray? The text is saying, let your needs be known. Just let your needs be known. That's what he's saying. He's saying, present your requests to God. Or in other words, let God know your needs. And this is something we covered in that first week with Matthew 6. How do we do this? This is very, very simple. Very, very simple. How can I let my needs be known to God? You ready for this? This is super deep. You guys are going to be blown away. You're all going to fall out in the spirit after I say this. I'm just joking. Talk to God your own way. You can't talk to God my way. Don't just try to emulate the way I pray, or emulate the way pastor prays. Talk to God your way. Now, we learned, like I said, this past Sunday, to apply God's word. So when you pray, you have a word that you're standing on. You have a word, a promise that you're presenting before God. And if you have a word and a promise that you're presenting before God, well, God honors his word. There's nothing more incredibly impactful and efficient than praying the Word of God. And so that's important. But come to God. Pray to God in your way. Listen, my kids, I have two kids, and they make their requests known to mom and dad uniquely. I'll talk about it for a moment. So my daughter, she's the queen of texting. If she has a need, she will text us her need, but she's also incredibly clever. So last week, why is there a national holiday for everything all of a sudden? I mean, you get on Facebook and it's like every day is some kind of national holiday. I can't keep up with all these holidays. Why am I not getting these days off? Shouldn't we be getting more days off if this was real? Anyway, so she sent my wife a text the other day and said, hey, today is National Daughter's Day. What are you going to get me? And we were like, National Daughter's Day? So we were like, that's not real. Well, she sent us a screenshot of the Wikipedia entry, National Daughter's Day, and said, I don't want anything. I just want some Cocoa Krispies from the DG. And it was like the Dollar General store. She wanted Cocoa Krispies for Daughter's Day. And so Megan showed me, and we got a good laugh. So guess what we did? We stopped at the Dollar General store and bought her a big giant box of Cocoa Krispies. She got her Daughter's Day gift. She had a unique way of presenting her request. Now, my son, when he needs something, he waits until the very last moment before it needs to be replaced. Like, for example, he needed a piece. He will buy him a pair of shoes. He will wear those shoes until his feet have grown to the point where they hurt inside these shoes. Like, we'll actually hear his toes pop out whenever he takes his shoe off because he's wore these shoes so long. Or he'll wear these shoes to the point where his toe is sticking out of the shoe. And he'll walk in and we'll be like, Jaden, Bub, you need some new shoes? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. No, you need some shoes. We'll get you some shoes, son. We love you. We want you wearing decent shoes. We can get you some. So he'll oftentimes wait until the last moment to let his request, but my kids both have their own way. They talk to mom and dad their own way. He'll come tell us in person. He'll come catch us in our room when we're laying in bed just chilling, and he'll let us know what he wants. My daughter, again, she'll text us, but they both have their own way of making the request known before mom and dad. And they're both creative and they're both unique. But this is how we talk to God. This is how we approach God. You can ask him. You can write your requests to him down. You can sing your prayer requests to him. If you got a good voice, if you don't have a good voice, then he knows your heart. Sing anyway. There's lots of ways. Did you know that you can shout to God your requests? Sometimes you can shout in joy. A few times I've shouted in anger. That's right. Because guess what? God's big enough to handle it. You read the Old Testament, man, them people were crazy. How they talk to God a lot of times. Read through the book of Psalms and see how David talked to God up and down one day. And it was just wild. But listen, our Heavenly Father's big enough. He can handle our temper tantrums. He knows it. Just don't sin. Just come to God. Talk to him. Talk to him your way. Now, as an earthly father, and every other dad in here knows this and you can relate, I love it when my children need me, especially as they get older. I love it. Now, don't tell them that. Neither one of them are in here. But I love it when they let me know that they need me because they're getting older. Our Heavenly Father loves to hear that we need him. And so talk to God. Talk to your Heavenly Father and let him know. Remember, we discussed this in Matthew 6. Jesus, part of his prayer was when he talked to his Heavenly Father, he said, give us this day our daily bread. That doesn't mean that you only ask God for something when you don't have it. Every day, come before God and ask him, pray about things even when you don't need it. Because you're letting him know everything I have comes from you. You're the provider. You're the source. You're the one who takes care of me. I'm your child. You're my father. I trust you for everything, Father. That's a powerful way to pray. This is what we're getting to. So in every situation, with prayer and petition, let your needs be known to God. So what is anxiety? Anxiety is a signal alerting you to go to the one who loves you. It's an indicator that you need to get into the presence of God. You need to pray, the one who created, the one who can help you. Get into that word. Get in the presence of God. It's a signal alerting you that it is time to pray, but it's also an indicator that in that moment you're anointed to pray. You're anointed to pray. The presence of God is with you. And I love the way that Peter talked about anxiety. Peter's a guy that probably did have a lot of anxiety, especially if you look the way he lived his life. He was a little bit wild. But this is what he said to do when you're anxious. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, 7, he said, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Everybody say mighty hand. We're going to come back to that in a moment. under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Then he said, cast all your cares or cast all your anxiety. Do you feel anxious? Do you feel a weight? Do you feel a problem? Do you feel afraid? Whatever you're feeling right now, cast all that anxiety, all those cares on him because he cares for us. And what do? You humble yourselves and you pray. So listen, everybody's got their stuff. Let me say it again. Everybody in here has got their own stuff, right? Their own stuff that they have to deal with. Their own causes, triggers for anxiety, for worry, for weight, for doubts, for problems. We've got our own stuff. I got my stuff. You got your stuff. I don't compare my stuff to your stuff. I don't compare my issues to your issues. You shouldn't compare yours to mine. That's not a healthy way to live anyway, but we shouldn't compare. The reality is, my world's not necessarily harder, it's just different. I don't know what you're going through. It might be harder, or it might just be different. I don't know, but I know that everybody's got their own stuff. And this is something that I've learned. We can get mad at stress all day long, but stress is a part of life. In fact, stress is in many ways healthy. Stress lets you know that you are alive. A little bit of stress. The problem is when we're overloaded. The problem is when we have not been taking our prayer and our requests to God. And we hold everything in. Now, you've heard me say this before, and I'm going to repeat it again. Everything you hold on to, you're responsible for. But everything you release and cast on God, his hands are mighty. He takes on those problems, and he sends his help. And so again, a little bit of stress is a healthy thing. I'm a guitar player. Seth's a guitar player. He's a much better guitar player than me. Seth would understand this. Any guitar players would understand this, that whenever you're playing a guitar, it requires a certain amount of stress and pressure to apply on the fretboard on those strings in order to play music. You apply the right amount of stress, and you start strumming, and you've got beautiful music. You've formed a chord. You've formed a note. You put those notes together, and you've got yourself a song. Too little stress, and it sounds like you got no music at all. Too much pressure, too much stress, and it's like you're going to pop a string. And so here's the issue. You need to be, in life, appropriately challenged. This is how this works. There should be an appropriate amount of stress in your life, a healthy amount of stress. Not too little. If there's too little stress, then that means you are lazy. You're probably laying in bed eating Pop-Tarts too much. And you're not doing anything with your life. Too much stress, and you're not taking that time to stay in the presence of God, and you're a little bit stretched out too much. Both extremes are wrong, but a healthy amount of stress keeps you going, keeps you motivated. That's why he said, don't be anxious, pray it out. Cast those cares on the Lord. Keep going. Keep running. You've got a race to run here. I'm going to run this race to win this prize, Paul said. I'm not running just to run. I'm running to win. And you can't, some of people aren't running at all. They're just, like I said, laying around. Some people have ran so hard, they're passing out. Again, there's an appropriate amount of stress here. There should be appropriate challenge. That's why this is so important, these 21 days of prayer. That's why it matters so much. I'm not just trying to work through my issues. I'm not just trying to, force through and push through and I'm going to do it. No, I want to learn to cast my cares, get into the presence of God more, and again, pray first. I want to walk by the Spirit. You were not meant by God to live this life without the supernatural. I'm going to get into this more Sunday morning, but this is a huge part of why so many people don't ever access the full promises and the power of God is because they try to do so much on their own. Well, if you would pray first, get in the presence of God, cast those cares, you'd be able to keep moving. Let some of that weight go. Let some of that stress go. Let God help you through this. It's what he wants to do. It's why it's so important. Cast those cares. And again, I'm going to pray about everything. This is what he's applying to. Now, I don't know how you would necessarily apply this in your life with whatever is causing anxiety in your life, but I know this. Remember, anytime there's anxiety, it's an indicator, it's a signal that you need to get back into the presence of God, that you're also anointed to pray and then get in the presence of God. So if you feel like there's too much, you feel like you're depleted, you feel like you're sinking. So Peter said, humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand. Now, I love this imagery because He says, once you get on, get under God's mighty hand, he will lift you up in due time. Now, this means a whole lot more when you put into context the guy who's writing about it. Because if you remember, Peter was the guy who Jesus invited to walk on water. And you remember this story? So Jesus invites Peter to walk on water, and Peter's like, ooh. He steps out, takes a few steps, and remember what happens. It's a little bit rocky, the waves are crashing, a little windy, and Peter starts to what? Sink. He starts to sink. At some point, everybody sinks. I don't care who you are. I don't care how awesome you are. I don't care how much Bible you've memorized. I don't care how great your attendance is in church. At some point, everybody sinks because of this reason. Ain't nobody in this room perfect. Not a single one of us. Some of us are stronger than others. That's fine. But nobody's perfect. You never will be. And so at some point, everybody sinks. And so here's what happens. Peter's writing this. And again, he was the one out of all the disciples who had the guts and the audacity to believe that he actually could walk on water just like Jesus. I mean, Jesus invited him out. So he steps out, walks on the water, the wind and the waves. His anxiety took over. Peter starts to sink. He took his eyes off Jesus, started to sink. Now, when Peter started to sink, what did Jesus do? Did he look at Peter and go, you loser. You got no faith. He didn't do that. What did Jesus do? Reached out his hand. He reached out his hand and he lifted him up. He saved him. He rescued him. And so Peter, when he says, listen, when you humble yourselves under his mighty hand that he will lift you up in due time, he's helping us to understand that sinking is not the problem. Everybody's going to sink. And sometimes if when you're sinking, you can't help but focus on the fact that I'm sinking. What's going on? I'm sinking. And you're screaming, you're panicky, you're frustrated, you're going nuts. Sinking happens. The problem is not that you're sinking. The problem is, and the issue is, are you still reaching up your hand to the one who's reaching his hand to you? Because if you'll keep that hand, Bible says, this is what he's getting to. Keep that hand reached. Even if you're sinking, don't worry about sinking. Just make sure you've got a hand reaching up to your Heavenly Father. Keep that prayer line connection open. Keep it open. Stay in the presence of God because in due season, he says, his mighty hand will rescue you. And Peter knew this firsthand in a very real way. It's very, very important. Give you a little secret to where we're heading, all right, in just a few minutes. So at the end of this message, what we're going to do is we're going to sing. We're going to sing a little bit more worship. And we're only going to sing maybe 4 or 5 minutes, maybe 3 to 5 minutes long, which means I'm going to trim 3 to 5 minutes off my message. That's good too, all right? There you go. Less preparation. I'm good to go. So anyway, when we sing, what I'm going to have you all do tonight is I'm going to have you actually take some time. Don't worry about anybody else in the room. You are going to cut it off. You are going to take those hands and you're going to reach them up. You're going to reach them up. I'm going to allow you to come forward. You can either kneel, you can stand, at your seat, you can worship up front, you can do whatever it is you want to do. But it's a Wednesday night worship service, y'all. What are we doing? Putting on a show? No, this is a time to get in the presence of God. So let all of the anxiety about being up in front and being worship in front of anybody, let that go. Because in that moment when we get into the presence of God, you know, when you lift your hands, lifted hands symbolize two things. One, it symbolizes an act of victory. The second, it symbolizes an act of surrender. And in this case, for believers, when we humble ourselves, oftentimes the act of a raised hand in itself is an act of surrender, which gives us immediate victory because now we're in the presence of God. And in just one moment of raising our hands, casting cares on the Lord, we experience both that hand of God reaching down into us but through our surrender, saying, God, we need you. We cast these cares on you. But also we access his presence where he gives his victory and his strength and his power in our lives. And it's an important thing. And we're going to do this in just a little bit. In that moment, we're going to surrender and then we're going to invite the victory of Almighty God. Because remember, when we cast these cares on him, he cares for us. He cares for us. You know, one of the most important and powerful things that you can pray for your spouse or pray for your kids or pray and ask God for yourself or pray for your friends, whatever it may be, is that we would fully understand just how much God cares. fully understand just how much God loves us. I pray that over my children every single day. I pray that Jaden and Ava fully understand just how much, God, you love them. Because the more they understand how much you have valued their life by sending Jesus to die on the cross for their sins and how much you love them, the greater they'll see you in their eyes, the greater they'll accomplish this great plan that you have in life for them, the greater they'll understand their purpose, because your love is so great. That love they won't be able to help but share that love everywhere they go as well. I pray that revelation into their life. I pray that over my wife every day. I pray that for myself. I pray that for you as the church. It's very, very important that God cares for us. So here's what happens. When we deal with anxiety, if you're battling with anxiety, there's a cycle. I'm going to go over this cycle for just a moment, and then we're going to take a little bit of time and we're going to worship. The cycle looks like this. It looks like this. What do? You face a situation, you get a bad report, you're facing a circumstance, you got whatever it may be, and you start to feel anxious, which means you feel a weight. You get worried. You have a little doubt, there's a problem, so you do what often I do, what we try to do. We try to control. We try to control. Because the moment things start to feel out of control, starts to get a little unpredictable, what's what we want to do? Impulsively, we want to take control over. Now, you can either be in faith, you can have faith, or you can control, but you can't do both. Faith is trusting God, that He's in control. But you can't be in control and be in faith at the same time. That's not how this works. So we try to take matters into our own hands. We try to control. And then we think, well, I can fix this. I can make this happen. I can whip this into shape. I can fix that person. I can deal with this situation. I can handle this. And then a lot of times we'll quote scriptures for ourselves. I can do all things. You won't finish the last part of it through Christ who gives me. But I can do all things. And you're just trying to fix it. You're just trying to fix it. You can confess all day long. The Bible didn't say confess first. He said pray first. So anyway, you're going here. You're trying to control that and taking control. The problem is the more we control, the more we fear losing control. And the more we fear losing control, then we try even more control. And guess what that does? It only adds more anxiety. And it becomes a vicious cycle that eventually just wears you out. And there's a lot of people who get stuck in this cycle. They're just trying to control. They're trying to force the word into a situation. And if they would just take time to get in the presence of God and let it go, release it, and then start speaking God's promises and praying out God's word, it would change their life. It would change their situation. We've got to break this cycle. Here's how we break this cycle. We recognize this truth. Let this sink into your heart. Write this down. Recognize this truth, and that is this. You do not always have the power to control, but you do always have the power to surrender. You surrender. That means you humble yourself and you pray. You pray first. I can't always control outcomes. I can't always control scenarios. I can't always control situations. But what I can do is I can yield. I can surrender. I can apply the word of God. I can cast these cares, get in the presence of God, pray first, and invite the Holy Spirit into my situation. That's something I can always do, no matter what I face, no matter what I'm going through. You can't always fix everything. You can't always change everything. That means medicine doesn't always fix it. Counseling doesn't always fix it. Changing our circumstances won't always fix it. A new location won't always fix it. A different job may not fix it. I mean, we could go on and on here. But we can surrender anything and everything at any given moment that is a burden on our life. We can every single time cast that burden, cast that care, release that anxiety to our Heavenly Father. Every single time, we can take it to God. Every problem, take it to God. Every struggle, take it to God. Every worry, take it to God. What are we going to do? Take it to God.